In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was just a little boy in Liberia, my parents made my siblings and me attend church almost every Sunday. I didn't like church that much, you see, but I love church school, which we call Sunday school, to distinguish it from the regular weekday school where we learn ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. I love church school because we had a chance to perform in Christmas and Easter pageants and recite Bible verses. My two favorite Bible verses were John 1:1-5 and John 3:16. John 1:1-5 is like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The second Bible verse was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That scripture, my friends, is part of tonight's third reading that we heard. And I would like to use it as the text for my homily on the love of God. John 3:16 has become so popular that one preacher in St. Petersburg, Florida, changed his name to John 3:16. Can you imagine? I could not find his original name, but I read that he wanted people to know more about that scripture than about him. The flamboyant John 3:16, the man, was an evangelist, you see. He dressed in flashy colored suits with a diamond pin spelling John 3:16 on the lapel of his jacket. He was a former convict who had become a Christian, and, my friends, he started to work with alcoholics, addicts, and ex-convicts at rescue missions. He told a local newspaper that he changed his name to John 3:16 because everyone knows what John 3:16 is and what it means. And he also wanted it to be the motto of his work. Everyone, I believe, tonight, attending this worship, knows that scripture, or you may have heard it before. And maybe you can recite it too, just as I used to do in church school. My friends, John 3:16 is the one Bible verse that tells us clearly about God's intention to save us and how God accomplished what God set out to do. God saved us, saved you and me, through the life and death of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. This verse also tells us what our human response to the gospel should be. We receive it in faith what God so graciously and freely offers us, and in receiving it, we have eternal life. My friends, God's attitude towards us is love, and that love is most clearly shown in the gifts of Jesus. God's love is so deep for us and for this world that God sent his only Son to die for us. It is our sin that sent Jesus to the cross, you see. And just as the prophet Moses lifted up a bronze serpent on a pole so that the Israelites who were suffering from poisonous snakes could look upon this symbol of death and find life. So Jesus is lifted up on the cross on Calvary. We who are in the darkness, suffering from sin and evil, look upon Christ Jesus, our Lord, and hear the promise of forgiveness of sin and salvation. My friends, God's love for us does not come with any conditions at all. It is while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us, the ungodly. Yes, God loves each one of us, from every race, creed, color, gay and straight, everyone, just the way we are. No matter whom we are or what we have done, no matter what other people think of us, we are loved by God. And we are forgiven in Christ and offered the life and salvation just as Jesus did for that thief on the cross at Calvary. Some people think God's grace is cheap because it is free. No, no. Free grace is not cheap grace. John 3:16 puts that so very clearly. God's love and forgiveness come at the price of his son's life. There's nothing we can do to merit God's gift, and there are no strings attached. It is a blessing, you see, to receive this free gift. But there are some among us who still refuse to accept God's free and precious gift. Can you believe that? It is like not accepting Oprah's free Christmas gift of a luxury car or a trip to Hawaii. Can you imagine that? I am deeply saddened that there are some among us who turn down the love of God. Some refuse to accept the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. The gospel writer John puts it this way. He says, there are some people who love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. These people condemn themselves because they refuse Christ. They love darkness and reject the light. According to the scriptures, those who do not believe do so not out of ignorance or lack of knowledge or a bad experience in the church, so much as their love of the darkness. John says, for all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. And in some way, my friends, we all love the darkness rather than the light. We love our sins more than the Savior. Like all others, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet, we hear again what a wonderful gift God gave us that first Christmas. When Jesus was born, my friends, in Bethlehem's stable, a light was placed to shine in this sin-darkened world. In anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, Isaiah declared, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. John also testified. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. My friends, let me tell you something. Light has great power. Light from a headlight can allow you to drive safely to the darkest and the stormiest night. My friends, light can scare off a would-be attacker. Light in the form of a laser allows a surgeon to remove a cataract with great precision. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. You see, I have had 3 eye surgeries in the past year, 2 cornea transplants, and a retina repair. Because light has great power, Jesus used this metaphor to explain the power he brings to us. Darkness represents the unknown and the chaos in our lives. Of course, the greatest darkness of all is the darkness of sin. Unconfessed sin, and especially a life dedicated to sin, is full of darkness. The darkness around us can be overwhelming in its enormity. The good news that we can continue to seek the help of Jesus to find light in the darkness, hope amidst despair, and forgiveness in spite of our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Every Christian knows how powerful the light of Christ is, and by his light, I can truly see. What about you? Do you know Jesus, the light of the world? Has Jesus brightened your life? Have you encountered Jesus in a personal way? Is there light in your life that keeps you from stumbling in this same darkened world? If not, my friend, there is hope. Because the light of Christ still shines today. The songwriter testified about that amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was found. Was blind, and now I see. The writer was the Anglican priest, John Newton, who wrote those words in that famous Christian hymn titled Amazing Grace. See, John was involved in the Atlantic slave trade, which claimed many innocent lives. Newton one day was battered by a violent storm on the Atlantic Ocean, and he cried out to God for mercy. You see, my friends, Newton realized that forgiveness and redemption are possible regardless of sins committed, and that the soul can be delivered from despair through the mercy of our God. What about you, my friend? Do you believe that? May Christ shine through your Lenten journey in such a way that you too might repent, receive, and follow the light of Christ. For Jesus is the true light which gives light to everyone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.